So the problem is, again, his solution, how does it satisfy when he says, you know, the two of them, okay? So again, the commentators, you know, they struggle with it. So Marshaw and others, they come to the following conclusion. They say that in reality, the idea of El HaHodavos or El HaHodavos really combines both ideas. That means for the multitude, okay, translated that way, and for all the blessing. And therefore, we simplify by simply saying El HaHodavos. Blessed art thou, O God, you know, God to whom all thanksgiving belongs, okay? And of course, where do we find El HaHodavos? The conclusion, and what comes after the Nishma?
Yishtabah.
Kel Melech Godol Bat Yishbachos, right? El HaHodavos, okay. But I haven't seen in any siddur that they go back to Rav HaHodavos. Yes.
You know, about 5 years ago, I did a terrible thing. I read a book by Chaim Potok.
Yeah. Oh, he's right.
Terrible.
And actually, two books. Both of them. And it is two books.
It depends which book. Yes.
Well, let's see. I think one was The Chosen, the other was The Promise.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm digressing here, but I'm getting to a point, but slowly. All right. So, in one of the protagonists is a young yeshiva bachur, and he takes the position in both books that there are very word, but the words are miswritten in the Talmud occasionally, very occasionally, so that you have to do an exegesis to correct them, to give the true meaning. You see, this is a very bad thing, because now I always percolate through my mind that this could happen any time.
Well, no.
And I'm wondering whether, if that was the case, maybe we meant to say Rav HaHodavos. No.
Definitely there's a bubble over there.
Definitely there's a bubble.
Yeah, definitely there's a bubble. I mean, because of all the texts, you know, everybody who comments upon this reads it as Rav HaHodavos. And it wouldn't be the subject of you know, what are we praising God for? What do you mean, Rav HaHodavos? Kol HaHodavos it should be, right? If it had been written Rav HaHodavos, then they probably would not have asked the question, because then Rav could be understood in the sense of master of thanksgiving or something.
I think that was Potter's point, that a lot of times, I mean, occasionally you might get into disputes.
No, there are times,
necessary.
Look, there are times when the text definitely needs correction. Yeah. Rashi himself, I mean, if you remember today, we already had that Hey Gimel over there, Hochi Garsinan.
Right.
You have to read the text as follows. Obviously, if he says that, it means that he had a text which differed slightly, and so Rashi has made a correction of the text in order to make it make sense. Okay? And then, of course, the text reflects actually what Rashi has said. But then along come others, like, for example, the Rashal, or the Bach, who noticed that certain things in the text required correction.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you have little footnotes. Now, take a look, for example, on the side, on the right column. Okay? You see how it goes, Habach.
Yeah, it's like a little one.
So it says Tosfos Dover HaMatzchil. That's what it means, you know, the section in Tosfos that begins with the words Hatov, etc. So Yosef Medai Dehochi Misayim Boharav. So this is a correction he's making to Tosfos. Okay, it's not so gefelach. I mean, but you have a lot more. You see that.
Making a correction in the text of the Gemara, but not in the Mishnah.
Yeah. Okay. This is in reference to something incident a little bit later on, where we have the question, you know, about Hatovani. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Just about made it an easy way out, but
All right, now this is for a later comment that the Tosfos makes. We'll read some of the Tosfos because they're very interesting as well as the Rashi. Of course, we should be familiar with some of these ideas. But naturally, what is the text itself to begin with? All right, so now we learned then that in that case, the conclusion, El HaHodavos or El HaDavos, combines all these ideas, and this is the interpretation of Maharsha, whose interpretation I adopted. Okay, El HaKasha, Loi Kasha. This is not a kasha, really. It's not a difficulty. Ha the shoma, mashma. Did I skip something?
Rava, right.
Okay, sorry. Yes. So Rava said, "Emo elodos." All right. So he says then the proper conclusion of the broker then should be elodos. Okay. So Omar Papa. Okay. So Papa said. Hilkach, for that reason, then they mean the Tavayel. Let's say both of them, Rov HaHodavos, Ve'Oel HaHodavos, right? Should say both of these ideas. But as I say, the Maharsha winds up with Ho'el HaHodavos, right? And he says that actually it combines both ideas of being Rov HaHodavos and Kol HaHodavos, okay? So the Elo Kasha, but the Kasha still remains, so he says no Kasha. It's not a kasha. Why? I mean, what is the kasha? The kasha is, if you remember, we had two different brachas for rain, right? One bracha was, you should say, Hadavar Meikav. The other one says, Moda Manach Loch, Al Kol Tipa, Tipa Rishvar Tu Aloinu, Baruch Hatwar, and you know, Ilfinim Ol Yishir Kayom, etc., 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 Baruch Hatwar Hashem, Kel Hoedois, okay? Incidentally, I just want to add, Kel Hoedois, besides being in you know, the conclusion of being part of the Yishtabach, which is the conclusion to that part of the service, Pesukah D'Zimra. But we also have that as a bracha in the Modim D'Rabbanan. You know, when we say, when the Chazan says Modim, the regular version, we have one a congregational response.
Right.
And this is based upon the Gemara and the Sota, where everybody has a different idea of what should the congregation say. So finally decided to combine everybody's ideas and make it one great big paragraph, because they're all worthy of being mentioned. And what is the conclusion? Baruch Kel HaHodos, right? This is the conclusion to it. So we see again that this was obviously, you know, the nusach of the bracha.
But it does end with Baruch Kel HaHodos, the response to Moses.
Yeah, right, right.
So there is no Ator Hashem.
No. You could argue, as somebody once argued, that, you know, maybe the original was Baruch Ator Hashem, Elohei Davos, you know, based upon this, that this was the original ending, instead of Hatov Shimcho, Velochono Elohei Davos. But whether, you know, it's so or not, I mean, it's a theory that was propounded.
Okay.
Some theories work out, and others don't necessarily.
Right. Do I sense that there's something of importance here, though?
Yeah.
Because of the whole structure and the change.
Right.
And like, for example, we're dealing with rain, and it's, so we have a more important bracha that we're dealing with. They seem to be.
Yeah, the question is, right now the question we have established, you know, about the difference in the text, right, that we said that El HaHodavos now combines both Rov HaHodavos and Kol HaHodavos. Okay, good, that's fine. But the very fact is that we started above, and we said that the bracha is Hatov HaMeitiv, and now we come along and we say that there is altogether a different bracha altogether that has to be said for rain, right?
Mm.
All right, so this is what they're commenting on right now. And what are they saying? Saying, he says, okay, Lokashi, he says, right? He says, there's really not a contradiction between those. Why? Because he says, Ha de Shoma, Mashma. Ha de Chaza, Masa. He says, we're talking in one case of a person who hears the rain, and in the other case, a person who actually sees the rain.
You can't, but you couldn't do the husband meeting the bride just from listening to it. You couldn't determine that from just hearing the rain. You have to see the rain.
You have to see the rain.
So this can't be.
Yeah. So we're saying, okay. So what are we saying?
So
we're saying then that there's a difference.
Okay.
Right, okay. And this is what he's going to say, right? He says, the Shoma Mashma, right? the person who hears that it's raining, Zahayna Besoros Tovos, right? So this is like good news to him. He hears good news. Utanan, and the Mishnah says that Al Besoros Tovos, that when you hear good tidings, Omer Baruch HaTovani. Okay? This is the bracha that you have.
You hear good tidings.
Right.
Any kind of thing.
Right. So that therefore, what is the implication? The implication would be then that if you hear it rain, then you say, but if you see it actually raining, then what should you say? Then you should see, you know, the whole Megillah that we had, right? Okay?
Oh, Megillah.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, the much longer bracha that they suggest. Right. Okay. I don't want to be disrespectful, but you know what I mean.
Oh, you know.
Elo ida the ida, but now the Gemara says, but in either case, the chazi mechzer, maybe it applies in both cases, you know, whether we should say atova native or the longer bracha, to a person who sees. We said a moment ago that if he hears, he should say atova native, right? But if he sees, he should say the other one. Now we're saying that if he actually sees, maybe there's also a difference over there between whether you should say the bracha atova native or whether you should say the longer bracha, right? And he says, well, Okashan, it's not a contradiction. Why? Hodor Sapurto. He says, if you see that it's only a light rain, right? Then in that particular case, what should you say? You should say Hatova Meitu. Okay. Hodor Satuva. But if you see a good heavy downpour, then in that case you say the longer one, right? So, this was version number two. Now along comes version number three. The Hebrew is same, and if you wish, or the Hodas a Tuva. Maybe we're talking about a case where it really comes a downpour, there's a lot of rain falling, right? Below Kasha. And still there's no contradiction. There's a time to say Hatova native and another time to say
the longer prophet.
Yeah, the longer one. Modamanach Lok, etc. Okay? So when? It says Hoda Isle Ara, Hoda Lesle Ara. If a person owns land, or if a person doesn't own land, is layara. If he owns land, then hatova meitav. This is the bracha that he should make because the rain is going to be a great blessing for him. So, whereas if he doesn't own land, then the implication is
he's happy, but not.
I would say dafka just the other way around. But I'm only quoting what the text says, okay? The text says, Isle Yara Hatova Meitav, right? So, on this, now they ask a different kasha. And what is the new kasha? It says, well, oh, the Tanya, he says, we have learned in the Baraisa, which says, Bona Bayis Chodesh, if a person has built a new house, or the Kono Kelim Chadoshim, he bought new Kelim. Now, by Kalim, there's a possibility either could be interpreted as new furniture, let's say, or it could also be interpreted as new garments. You have to remember that, because Kalim, in the language of the Talmud, very often refers to garments. In other words, you buy a new suit, okay?
So it could be something like effects, personal effects.
Yeah, right. So, Omer, in that case, the bracha that you make is Baruch Shechiyon V'Kimon V'Kiyon Lasman Hazeh. All right, this we know, that if you buy a new home or you buy a new suit, so on, woman buys a new dress, a new coat, whatever it may be, for this you should make that bracha, okay? But, shelo v'shalachirim, this is what the Gemara adds that we're not familiar with. It says, if it belongs to him and to others as well, in other words, he shares it with others, whether it's land or whether it's kalim or whatever it may be, okay, then in that case, Omer Hatova Hametiv. Then in that case, the bracha that you should make is not Shechiyanu, but you should make the bracha Hatova Hametiv. Now, what is the problem that this now raises? The problem now raises, of course, the fact that this implies that when do we say Hatova Hametiv? When it's something that you share with others. So the question is, what are we sharing now, right? So he says, Lo Kasha. He says there's no difficulty. Hoda isle shutfus, hoda lesle shutfus. Right? it depends upon whether he's in partnership with someone, let's say for the land, or he's not in partnership with someone, or a partnership for the house, or not in partnership in the house.
Or he wears it on Monday, or the clothes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the other guy wears it Tuesday,
Thursday.
And the
other guy wears it the other days of the week, okay?
It's up before.
So in one case, if it's yours exclusively, then you say Shechiyonu, but if it's not yours exclusively, then don't say Shechiyonu, but say Hatovah Meitzit. All right. The Hor Tanya. Didn't we learn, they say, Kotzro Shodavar, that to sum up, in one short sentence, Al Shelo, what belongs to him exclusively, he Omer Baruch Shechiyonu V'Kibonu, right? Al Shelo V'Yal Shel Chaveiro, but what belongs to him and to others likewise, Omer Baruch Atov HaMeitiv, right? So that seems to be the conclusion now. And now they say, all right, so if that's the case, Kol Hecha, the Les Nachmina Bahadei, all right, now you've told me until now, that is the last moment, that if you share it, you make the bracha tova hametiv, right? If you have it exclusively, then you say baruch shechiyonu. Okay, that's fine. So now the Gemara wants to know, hey, aren't there times when a person owns it exclusively and still what does he have to say? Hatova hametiv. Right? That's what they say. The Chol Hecha, everywhere, right? The Les La'achrino V'Hadei, Lo Mevarech Atov HaMeitiv, where somebody else has no share together with him, he doesn't make the Bracha Atov HaMeitiv. The Ho Tanya, didn't we have another Baraisa, which says, what? Omru Lei, if they said unto him, Yoldo Ishtei Zohor, that, you know what? Your wife has just given birth to a boy. So what Bracha should he make? Omer, he has to make the bracha, Baruch Atov HaMeitiv, right? So in other words, here, he is the proud father. With whom is he sharing it? Not sharing with another father. So he makes the bracha Atov HaMeitiv, right? So they ask the kasha, what do you mean? He says, Chosam, hey, in that case too, they say, Name, there is a partner. The Iko Yishtu Mahadei, hey, his wife is also part of this deal.
Oh, gee, finally women got a break here.
The Nichola Besacha, she too is happy that she has given birth to a boy. Why is she happy that she's given birth to a boy? Because, you know, the average man likes to feel, you know, he's complimented, I guess.
As a kaddishol.
He has, right, as a kaddishol. It's a proof of masculinity or something, right?
Yeah.
Carry on the name.
Carry on the name.
Yeah.
It's a greater obligation, learning Torah and things like that. Listen, I mean, we don't want to negate the women, you know. God knows we have enough problems. Put them behind over here and you know what happens. We have an explosion. And they go and they join Bethel.
All right. So the wife also.
All right, the wife too. So in that case, he's sharing his nachas with us. So therefore, Atav Amitav is very important.
Then he doesn't say Shechiyonu then.
No, he doesn't say Shechiyonu for that. Incidentally, you know, Shechiyonu, you have it's a difference between the Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. When we have a bris, the father makes the bracha, you know, and commanded us, you know, to circumcise and so on, right? But here, the father does not say the bracha of Shechiyonu at the time of the bris. And there it's as well, the father, however, does say the bracha of Shechiyonu. That's the custom over there.
Yeah.
But why don't we say it? The explanation is because the child is feeling pain. That's the reason why we don't. But maybe in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, the child is transported to a greater spiritual realm.
Actually, they don't feel
the father
pain.
Yeah, well, they may feel something.
Cry because they should pay attention.
Well, right. It's a fact that their nervous system is not developed for them.
Yeah. Okay, Toshba, now we have something interesting. Okay. Still along the same lines. It says, May Sobi. All right, let's say his father has died, right? Well, who your show? And he is the heir to his father. Okay? So, Batchila, the first bracha that he has to say, Omer Baruch Daidot. He has to make the bracha, Baruch Daidot. Right, blessed be the righteous judge. Philip, so. And afterwards, Omer He says the bracha, Baruch Atah Lameitiv. Why? Because he's come now into Yerusha.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what it means that you have to do it immediately. That's pasta. But eventually, certainly, he's going, you know, to be happy when he sees the Yerushians.
Before he takes possession.
Right. So he should say,
well, you wouldn't even consider doing anything like that until after the Shiva was over. I mean, you wouldn't be capable of doing it.
If you have the Shloshim.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They don't really specify at what particular point that he should make the second one.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. We can take a look at the Rashi, but we'll see the Rashi actually also doesn't really mention very much over there. The third line from the bottom. The Lipsoko Mer HaTov HaMeitiv, right? And finally, subsequently, he's going to make the Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv Al Besoros HaYerusha, for the news that he gets about the Yerusha, Shenishar Olo Yerusha Be'Aviv, that you know, his father, he has inherited an inheritance from his father. Shekeim Besoruhu, because they have given him the news, Mesavim, right? The Yosha. They told him really simultaneously that your father has died and you are the appointed heir.
Well, wouldn't you know in advance, essentially? I mean, if you're the oldest son, then you assume that you were going to be the heir.
Well, but it doesn't say over here the oldest son.
No, but I mean, he would get two portions, say. I mean,
assuming that he was the firstborn, right, yes. Well, and he gets a double portion according to the law of the Torah and the eldest, right, Needless to say, I mean, that's the law of the Torah, but, you know, with modern laws, they try to get around it a little bit because of the fact that they feel that they want to give equal standing to their children. Although, of course, we know that there are many wills that are made up where there's a definite preference for one child over another. Or even the elder tried to exclude a child, you know, by just giving them the proverbial penny or something like that. Okay.
But no, I was just trying to say, you know, well, one time he said the Shtar Matanah Bali, where...
Right.
Under the Tanah...
Yeah, this is correct. A person, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's not on his deathbed, is permitted, right, to give gifts, whatever he wants. And that's not considered a Yerusha, that he's giving a gift of his own lifetime, you know, and that he could do. Sure, the government will tax you beyond, what is it, 10,000, 15,000, what is it, something like that.
Here?
Gifts to a child, let's say.
10,000 Korean per donee.
Yeah, okay. But according to the law in the Talmud,
doesn't have to be a child.
As long as you are living, you can give whatever you want. Sons, daughters, anybody.
Yeah.
You can make donations. You know, give gifts. You can do that.
Give a gift.
Yeah.
Give gifts. Well, okay. It's not a shtar.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So now they come up with a new kash over there. They say, hey, wait a minute. You know why it says Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv? He says Hasan Nami over there, the Ika Ache the Koyar Sei Bahade. Hey, he has other brothers who are also sharing in the Yerusha with him. So therefore, HaTov HaMeitiv should be appropriate. So what are they trying to imply? That if he got the whole money, then he should say Bo Shachiyan when he gets it.
That's right.
Say he's the
only
son.
Apparently, this is the implication. It's not written in the law, but this would be the implication from the discussion over here.
What's the one of the bracha for winning the lottery?
I guess Shachiyan. That's the case. If you get the whole thing, but if you share it,
regularly, but every, you know, within 30 days.
Even if you share with the strangers,
even if you share, thank God for the goodness that he does to you. But okay, let
the other guys say it's the same thing.
Should only happen.
It only happens.
Let's see.
Practical.
Did my megabucks come in tonight? Okay. Toshba. Come and listen, he says. Shinui Yayin ain't Sarach Lebore. Shinui Mokim Sarach Lebore. This is something a little bit along the lines, and yet it has something to do. It's like tangential. Okay? What are they saying? Right. You're sitting down at a meal, and let's say first they give you Manischewitz, right? And then after that, they give you Baron Herzog. Okay?
Wine.
Wine. Right. All right. Now, obviously, Baron Herzog wine costs a lot more than Manischewitz. Okay? So, you made the bracha by pri hagafen for what? For the manasharis. That's what they were served first. Okay? And then, all of a sudden, they change the wine, they give you a much better wine. Okay? So what is he saying over here? So he's saying that shinui yain ain't tzorach tavoyah. You don't have to make the bracha bari pri hagafen all over again. But shinui makom, what if you ate in one place and then you got up and you went someplace else and you had a dinner? Then in that case you say tzorach tavoyah. You should make a bracha in the second place as well. In other words, let's say that you had hamotzi over here in the shul and then you go home and you eat bread again. Okay, then in that particular case you should make the bracha motzi again in the house. Okay, because that's shinui mokum at that case.
Are we assuming that you benched at shul and then you went
not
home?
Necessarily. If it was within 72 minutes after, you know, the food came into your tummy,
if you're in
you
the sukkah hut or something, then if you're in the sukkah hut,
yeah, right,
and you go here and you have something and you go and you make the bracha each time and you won't have to bench.
But you don't have to bench each time.
So
you don't have to bench.
So you'd make the bracha.
Right. Okay. You'd bench at the end of the.
But you make the bracha with the wine each time?
If you had wine over here and then wine over there, it would be proper.
What is the halacha on the benching, the 72 minutes? Could you just go over that?
Yeah, the 72 minutes. We had this, I guess it was the 7th chapter, so, you know, when we were talking about the brachas that you make for Birkas HaMazon and so on and so forth, okay?
Right.
We learned over there that if a person, for example, had no time to bench,
right,
he got up and he went on his way,
right,
so he has up to 72 minutes to make the to bench. So if he doesn't have time, what he could do is to eat something within the 72 minutes, because that still is part of the digestion, that gives him a little bit more time until eventually to go into the bench. But if you go beyond 72 minutes without eating anything, then in that case we say it's hafal, you missed your opportunity to bench.
That covers the circumstance of somebody who has to leave in a hurry, so he ate a little bit and he has up to 72 minutes to complete his meal somewhere else. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and right.
Okay.
But let's say even within the 72 minutes, he still doesn't have the time to sit down and bench, so he could eat a little bit more and so on, so they'll keep his tummy occupied as long as it's within 72 minutes.
So it holds the 72 minutes.
Right.
So what you're saying is the 72 minutes starts at the last eating.
Right, right, exactly. Because we assume that the dinner is still being digested at that particular point.
In other words, when
after that, maybe the digestion is complete.
When you go to a dinner here, and you come in here and daven mincha ma'ariv, you got to get back before 72 minutes elapsed to complete the meal or to bench.
Yeah, but I mean, or to continue, don't you? Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So that's not a terrible interruption. I mean, if we go out in the middle of the meal in order to come, you know, to dominate.
No, like, let's say you're interrupted during your meal or at the end of your meal by a telephone call. You're going to have a telephone call for half hour. You can
still have time, right. Yeah. So let's say 72 minutes is what they.
It's an interesting number.
Let me see if I get this right. Let's say I start to have breakfast here, have half a roll.
Right.
And for some reason I can't do the Birkat HaMazon. I have to.
Right, you're on your
own. Okay, I have to take my daughter's.
Yeah, okay.
Then, you're saying I have 72 minutes in which to see the Birkat HaMazon.
Right.
Or
if
eat again.
I go home and have a bowl of cereal, the 72 minutes starts after the bowl of cereal.
That is correct. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
That's the bowl of cereal.
Yeah. Or the other half of the roll. Even though they say that if you change the wine, you don't have to make the buffalo fair dozen again, I will all there, Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. So it's proper for him to say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv when, as I said, I mean, if you change from an inferior type of wine to a more expensive type of wine. So there too, the eco not just the fact that you're getting better wine, but also if you have others who are with you, then, as we said before, something that you can share with others to say Baruch Atah Lami. Okay, I guess we'll stop at this particular point. It's 8 o'clock, so we'll start from the second line from the bottom.
Second line from the bottom on Ahmed Bey's.
Right.
Nun Tes.
Nun Tes, right. Okay, so this will be our jumping.
You're on. Okay. Nun Tes, third line from the bottom.
Right.
I don't get it either. I'm looking at you. It's
also known as 118.
You're right.
See, the
Ahmed Bey's.
Yeah. But it doesn't say Nun Tes T. You just have to remember what you would see.
Okay.
So it's
on the other side.
But what was really was the third line
on the bottom.
The bottom was, oh, I see. Okay, I get it. I was starting the second one.
Okay. Last week, we were approaching the Bracha Shechayonu from another point of view, namely, when should we say Shechayonu, when should we say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, if you remember, okay? And we decided at that particular time that, judging from the way the discussion in the Gemara went, that if you alone are involved, then the proper thing would be to say Shechayonu. But if it is something that you share together with other people, then in that case it would be Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. So that's where we left off last week, okay? And tonight, we're still continuing for a little while yet with the Bracha Shechayonu, but this time it's from a different point of view. Namely, under what circumstances should Shechayonu be said, and under what circumstances should Shechayonu not be said, okay? So the Mishnah simply gave a general statement. If you remember, it said over there, again coming back again to trust the Nun Dalet. It says over there, Bonabai is Chodosh, right, that if he built a new home, Kona Kalim Chadoshim, or if he bought new Kalim, as I explained to you, Kalim can be understood in various ways. Either it can be understood as, for example, one meaning is that it's like new furniture or something like that, or another meaning of the word Kalim is it's a synonym for begodim. It means new clothing, if you buy new clothing. Mm-hmm. So what bracha do you say? Then in that case, you have to make the bracha, or Shefiyon, Vikimon, Vikimon, that's what I said. All right. This is what the Mishnah said. So now this is the topic of conversation and discussion. He says, Omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Leishanu ele she'en lo kayotze bahen. Avod yesh lo kayotze bahen, ein tzorof levore. Alright. So Rav Huna says as follows. He says that if you buy something that you don't have the like of it before, then in that particular case, you make the bracha shechayonu. It's brand new for you, and so you make it. But if you're buying something that you already have in the house, and that could mean either that you bought it previously, or, as Rashi seems to take it, in the sense that maybe you inherited from somebody, or you got it from somebody before, in other words, you didn't have to buy it, right? In that case, since you already possess it, then you're buying another one like it, then you don't have to make the bracha shechayonu. It's not that new from that point of view. Of course, this is immediately disputed, and it's disputed by Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu yesh lo kayotzi bahen tzorach levorech." Okay? He says, even if you have an article already which is like it, and you buy another one, you still have to make the bracha. The fact that you have something similar to it at home doesn't excuse you that if you go and you make a new purchase, then you should say, Shehechiyonu. All right. So far, so good. So we see two conflicting points of view. Rav Huna says you don't have to make it as long as you have already something like it. And Rav Yochanan says that even if you have something like it at home, nevertheless, you still have to make it because it's something new. Okay. Now, Miklal. So we come then to a conclusion based on this discussion. D'chi kona v'chosa v'kono, divrei hakol ein tzorach levorech. Now this introduces another category. And he says, from this discussion, the fact that one says, if you have something like it from before, right, then you don't have to. That's, of course, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Mm-hmm. And Rav Huna said that if you have like it, then you don't have to. So what about the case where you bought, and then you, right after that, you decided to make another purchase? Kono, right, v'choza v'kono. You bought, and then again you bought, okay?
Then bought that, the same product.
You bought the same product, right. So in that case, the conclusion would be, divrei hakol, according to everybody's opinion, meaning both Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, right, ein tzoruch l'borech, then you don't have to make the bracha.
Yes. Nowadays, if we buy a new suit, you say shechianu malbushim.
Of course, of course.
So you, it's not the first that you ever had, so you're not going with this then.
Correct. We'll see. We'll see. Because, first of all, I want to finish this little section of Gemara, then I want to come back to the Tosfos that we didn't talk. Because Tosfos really, in this particular case, sets the pattern for what the custom is at present. Okay? It was perfectly... I mean, don't say that you're sorry, because there's nothing to be sorry. On the contrary, I welcome these questions.
Okay.
It shows that you're thinking, which is wonderful.
I think everyone's thinking, doesn't most people don't say anything.
Okay. All right. Now, if this is where it stood, that would be simple enough, right? But now he says, Ve'ika de Amre, there's another tradition, however. Remember, all this was oral tradition, okay? So there was another tradition that they had that said that the discussion, the difference of opinion between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is not what we said, namely, kono v'chosa v'kono, but it was on the contrary about something else. All right. But you could amri there. Those who say, Omer Rav Huna said, but lei shanu, where do they say that you don't have to make the bracha? Ela shalei kono v'chosa v'kono. That where you didn't buy, and then again by the same article, right? Avol kono, because of a kono in Tzoruch L'Borech. But he would say that, if you buy something and then again you buy it, then you don't have to make a bracha. All right, so this is Rav Huna's opinion, that you don't have to make the bracha she'echayonah for something that you already had, whether it is, as we said before, something that you have in the house, or the second time around when you buy the same thing, okay? This is his opinion. But Rabbi Yochanan, Abba Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afilu Kono Vechosu Mekono Tzoruch L'Borech. His opinion is then that even if you just buy and then you buy again the same item, you still have to make the bracha for the second time around when you do it. Okay? So Miklal, from this we conclude what? Dechi Yeshlo Mekono, right, that if he has something and he bought it, then divrei hakol tzoruch l'borech. Then everybody would be in agreement then that you have to make a bracha even though you already have it in the house. Now, how do we reach that conclusion? Because if you, at the beginning, the first thing, remember we said that Rav Huna, this time, according to the second version, is not quoted as saying that if you have it in the house, you don't have to make a bracha if you buy something else. Well, that's similar to it, right? All that he's quoted as saying is that if it's chozah v'kona v'chozah, kona v'chozah v'kona, then you don't have to do it. So therefore the conclusion would seem to be then that if you already have in the house, you should, nevertheless, if you buy something else, make the bracha. This would seem to be the conclusion. But obviously, we're not clear. The fact that there are two conflicting versions as to what actually was said. And since we're not clear, so the Gemara tries to analyze this a little bit further. Okay? So, Maisley. So they asked on this another kasha. Okay? Kasha is in reference to another tradition that they have. Good evening, David. Come and settle yourself, and then we shall continue. Okay? We're on Samach Omid Aleph.
Oh, good.
Okay, so Maisri. So they asked about this, that is, they come in with a counter proposal from a different tradition. What is it? It's Bona Bayis Chodosh, the Ein Lo Kayotzi Bo. Here, the Baraisa says that if he bought, if he built a new house, right, and he does not have another house like it that's already in existence, right, or Kona Kalim Chadoshim, if he bought new Kalim, again, take it whichever way we understand, new clothing, whatever it may be, the Ein Lo Kayotzi Behem, and he doesn't have just like it, you know, from before, then Soret Lavorek, he has to say the blessing. But Yesh Lo Kayotzi Behem, but if he does have what, you know, similar to what he's now buying, then Ein Soret Lavorek, and the Raisa continues by saying that Divrei Rabbi Meir, this is specifically the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So now we know that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that if you get anything that looks like the, you know, what you already have, then in that case you don't make a bracha. You're excused from making the bracha. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion.
Would you say that, or simply say that you do have to if you...
It says you don't have to, period. And when it says that they don't have to, of course, that brings in another problem, David, right? And that problem is simply this. If you don't have to do it, and you do it, are you then, when you make a bracha, being right, pronouncing, you know, a bracha lebatola, or not? That's the question. You understand? So according to Rabbi Meir's opinion, it would be a bracha lebatola, if this is what you wanted to do, okay? Because he says you don't. That's his opinion. No, I'm not saying that this is
right,
the accepted
right.
opinion.
Right, this is the
but this is a
opinion
of Rabbi
Meir. He agrees with Rabbi
Meir. Well, we'll see, right. Yeah, in general, you would say that there's an agreement between his point of view and Rabbi's. Right, correct. Remember, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they were earlier, much earlier generation, whereas Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, they already came at a later period. Because Rabbi Yochanan, you know, they were already Amoroyim, that is, you know, people from the Talmud, whereas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they were from the time of the Mishnah. Yeah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Benkach or Benkach. Makes no difference, he says, Sorok Tavore. You have to make the bracha for the new thing that you buy, regardless of whether you have it in the house or whether you don't have it in the house. Okay. So they say, Bishlamor Lelishna Kamov, according to the first version that we had, then Taka Rav Huna is to Rabbi Meir, right? Rav Huna and Rabbi Meir are both in agreement. Namely, you don't make the bracha. Okay? And we would also say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, they're both in agreement that as long as you have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, since it is something new that you're buying, after all, you're making a new purchase, then in that case, you should make the bracha. Okay? This is what we would say. So, Omalocho Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan could say to you,
you skipped a couple of lines.
Pardon me. Right. Ela Lelishta Basra, but according to the second version, Bishlamo Rav Huna ki Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, that is still in agreement, right? That Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda are in agreement. Ela Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Kaman, in the second version, with whom is Rabbi Yochanan in agreement? Lo ka Rabbi Meir, because obviously Rabbi Meir says you don't have to, but lo ka Rabbi Yehuda, because if we consider again, what did Rabbi Yehuda say in the second version? He said that Benkach and Benkach, right, that you have to make a bracha, whereas before him, yeah.
On each purchase you have to make a bracha.
Right. Benkach and Benkach, sort of the word. This is what he said, okay? Whereas, previously, what was Rabbi Yochanan saying? Rabbi Yochanan was saying that if, you know, you have in the house, right, yesh lo ka yetzi behen, right, then you have to make the bracha. But not if it's, you know, kono because of a kono, if you simply buy the same thing over again. So that's contradictory, because he's going to say afterwards that you do it in any case. So we're not sure whose opinion he's following over here. So at any rate, we'll see now that Amalacha Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Rabbi Yochanan could argue with you as follows. Hu hadin, he says, yeah, staka, this would be the conclusion to the Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, kono, the cause of a kono, right, is no mitzvah levarach, you have to make the bracha, if you bought and then you again bought the same item over again. Okay? The Hordekon Niflegay, the Eishle, the Kono, and the fact that according to the first Lashon, where the argument is about if you have the item already and whether you should make a bracha if you buy another one, it's the Hodiacho Kochad Rabbi Meir. This is in order to show how strong is Rabbi Meir's own position, Da'afilu Kona V'yeshlo Ein Tzorach Lavorich, that Rabbi Meir is insistent, right, that if, inasmuch as we said before, that if he has the same item at home, right, and then he buys another one like it, he doesn't have to make a bracha. The Kol Shekein, so all the more so, Kona V'chosu V'kona, that if he bought and then he again bought the same item over again, then so the Borech. Okay? So this is Rabbi Meir's opinion. So it's a very strong argument for Rabbi Meir, but it doesn't mean that we accept Rabbi Meir's opinion. All we're saying is that he's being very logical, that's all.
What's the difference between having something in your house and then buying it?
According to Rashi, it could be that you already had something in the house that maybe you inherited from somebody. Or that you picked up from somebody that you didn't buy before. And now you go out and you buy, okay? So, according to Rabbi Meir's opinion, if you already have this thing at home, and you buy another thing just like it, you don't have to make the bracha shechiyana. It's not appropriate, according to him, to make the bracha, because you're not getting anything new. In other words, the newness is not over there. Whereas, right, with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, or Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, generally speaking, we would say that if you buy something new, no matter whether you bought it before or whether you got it before as an inheritance, whatever it may be, but it's new. If it's buy it for new, then in that case, make a bracha.
And even if you buy one and you, then you buy another, you still make the bracha.
Yeah.
He says.
I mean, that would be his position, exactly. Yeah. Okay?
Are they going to discuss something about time interval?
Well, they don't exactly discuss the time interval, no. But I'll go back to the Tosfos at the bottom of the previous page over there to see how the Tosfos finally comes to some sort of a conclusion as to what to do. Okay? And that formed, incidentally, the basis of the decision that you have in the Shulchan Aruch concerning whether to make the bracha shechiyana or not. Okay? All right. The Liflegu, so now they say, look, they might have argued instead the Kona V'chosu V'kona, that that should have been the point of the argument, whether you bought and then you again bought the Ein Tzorach L'Borech, and you don't have to make the bracha again, the Hodiach Kochad Rabbi Yehuda, you know, to stress the fact of Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the final analysis that you should, even under those circumstances. So they come to a conclusion which incidentally is quoted again and again in different parts of the Talmud, namely Koach de Hetera Odifle, that he prefers to make a strong argument for a heter. A heter means, you know, for giving permission, rather than to try to argue, you know, the other point, right, that, you know, you shouldn't do it. And I say it's a strong argument, not particularly for this particular area, but there are other areas in life, you know, where the question is, you know, which point of view should we adopt? Should we adopt the heter, when, assuming, of course, that there is a heter, not talking about where there is no heter, but where there is a specific heter. Great authorities have said that it is permissible, and then others come along and say, no, we have to be machmir, we have to be machmir. So this principle over here, Koach de Hetera Odifle, would imply that we should try to take the more lenient point of view and not, you know, take simply a negative point of view.
I don't understand in which direction the heter is going. Is the heter going so that we don't make a bracha in vain?
That is probably what it is. Yes, and our specific example over here, exactly. I mean that...
Because it's sometimes easier not to make a bracha.
Right. In other words, we would say that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion you shouldn't, okay? And whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that you should, so the heter, you know, is he'd rather express it from that point of view, that you're permitted to do it. And it would not be a bracha levatom, okay? All right, now let's take a look at the Tosfos of the preceding page, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, okay? First, you know, the third Tosfos on the page. It says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu konon kayotzei b'hem, right? Rabbi Yochanan said that if you bought, even if you bought things that are like what you already have, that you still have to make the bracha, right? So now the Tosfos says, behilchasok Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha says, taka follows Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Aliba de lishta basra, according to the last opinion that we had, that afilu konon b'hodor konon. That even if he bought, and again he bought the same thing, that he already has even new things that are similar. You know, he went and he bought new things, and then he bought more new things, right? Nevertheless, what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? It's Sorek Lavorech, that you have to make the bracha. Okay? The Kaimelon, because he says, we have a general principle, Rabbi Yochanan, that when Rabbi Yochanan is the Gabe, the Rav, right, is in disagreement with Rav, so Mikol Shekain, the Gabe Rav, Hilchus or Kabos. And even more so that, you know, as compared to, excuse me, you see there's a little note, because that wouldn't make sense. We already said that. If it's there's a point of disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, who do we normally follow for halacha? We follow Rabbi Yochanan, right. And so therefore, Mikol Shekain, even the more so, the Gabe, and it should say Rav Huna. You see over there?
Yeah.
And the little parenthesis over there. That's a correction to the text, because it should be that in connection with Rav Huna, Yilchisur Kavose, then the halacha also follows Rav Yochanan. Okay? The Yomir Ri, and now comes along Ri, who is one of the great Balei Tosfos, and he says, Davka b'vegodim chashuvim, dunyur debayis chodosh, nokat kelim chadosh. He says, Davka, when do we make the bracha shechiyonim? We're talking about important garments, right? B'godim chashuvim, which would be similar to, for example, a new home. In other words, a new house is an important thing, so if we buy, let's say, a new suit, right? A new coat, something like that, we would say the bracha shechiyonim, right? Avol she'inam chashuvim kol kach, but things which are not considered so important, as for example, minolim are shoes, right? Beyond pliyos, this is a like socks or overshoes or something like that, let's say a pair of rubbers or something, boots, this is on pliyos, okay? The cholok is like an undershirt for these things, the chayotze bahen, and you know, things similar to that, ain't tzoruch lavorech. You don't have to make the bracha. All right, so this is the first observation in the Ri. So we really have to distinguish between whether we consider this an important garment or it's something which is not so important.
Minor garment.
Right. The Yerushalmi, now in the Yerushalmi Gemara, so there we have a different opinion mentioned. Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, there it says the Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, he says it isn't enough simply that this should be new things, right? Ela afilu shechakim, but even things which are already worn, ke'ilu chadoshim hayim. If they are as if they were brand new, then in that case he would also make the bracha shechayon. This is what Rabbi Chiya says. So that, let's say, you bought new furniture, but it wasn't brand new, but it was secondhand furniture. But still,
good,
if you replace, right, let's say you replace your dining room set, or you replace your living room set, and you buy not new furniture, for which there's no question that you should technically say Shechiyonu, because it's Devorim Chashuvim, right, it's Kelim Chashuvim. But, you know, let's say that you go to, you bought it from somebody, you know, in a private sale, or you went to a good second-hand. I don't know whether the Salvation Army would qualify for that. But, at any rate, it doesn't have to be absolutely brand new in order to make Shechiyonu, right? Why? Because if to you they are brand new and important, then in that case, make the bracha Shechiyonu. Rabbi, yes?
Could Dal come on, that means it follows?
Yes, yeah. Rabbi Yaakov, b'shem Rabbi Chiya Barabo, and Rabbi Yaakov came along in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Abba, and he said, "Kono He says, if he buys, then Omer Shehechiyonu, right? He says that the proper bracha is to say Shehechiyonu. But Nitan lo, what if something is given to him as a gift? Then in that particular case, Omer Hatova HaMeitiv. He shouldn't say Shehechiyonu in this case, but Hatova HaMeitiv. Why? Because Hatova HaMeitiv is something that's said when we said that there are two people who are involved in it. Obviously, if you're being given a gift, so they're
person
already
gave
right.
The
person
who
gave it to you is also involved in it. Okay. Lovash begodim. All right. Now, when he actually puts on the clothing, Omer Malbush Arumim. Then in that case, he makes the bracha, Boruchat Vor Hashem, Malbush Arumim. Right? He says, Bitzorech Iyum begemore shalonu, Dolo Ashkechon Atova Hameitiv, Elo Bideika Achina Behele. And he says, we have to look more closely because in our Gemara, we do not find Hatova HaMeitiv used except when there is somebody else who's involved with you. Okay. So at any rate, we see what? It has to be Chashuvim.
Has to be important.
It has to be important. And if it's important to you, and even if it is secondhand, but for you it's brand new, then in that particular case, it would also be subject to it. But if it's given to you simply as a gift, then in that particular case, not Shehechiyonu is the bracha, but Hatova HaMeitiv should be.
No,
yes.
It seems with house and kelim.
Right.
Now, I want to know about a horse, and the reason I want to know about a horse is then do we project to a car nowadays? Because a car would be more... I mean, do you understand the question? It doesn't talk about livestock.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you would make a Shehechiyonu over a horse...
I've never
ride.
Heard a Shehechiyonu being made over a horse.
Okay, now, would you therefore... no, but would you make a Shehechiyonu over a car?
Yeah.
In that
a
respect?
A car?
In that, it,
yes,
you
I would say a car, if it's a brand new car...
Or even if it's your first car.
You're right,
car.
But you're
your
first at it, then I would say Shehechiyonu the first time.
But if you lived in a place where they didn't have cars and they had horses...
Right.
I mean, not just 100 years ago. Wouldn't you have made it if someone gave you or if you bought your first pony, your first horse?
I don't think it would be proper.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I never heard of a bracha being made over a horse or a cow or anything like that.
No, but I mean, 100 years ago.
I understand, but I don't know whether these would have the category of being kelim. It's not
but a cow
an implement,
would.
Huh?
But a cow would. I mean, if
no,
you,
a cow is
a car,
not
a
an
car,
implement.
Car,
oh,
a
car.
Yeah,
car is an implement. It's a kelim.
So
it's a man-made thing, right?
It's
a man-made
thing,
right?
It, something
right.
Made.
So in that particular case, but David, you know, you remind me of the joke, you know, about the person who came.
No joke,
right?
Uh-huh.
He came to the Orthodox Rav and he says, "I bought myself a Cadillac."
Mm-hmm.
Or I bought a Porsche. It sounds better if you say Porsche. All right,
okay.
I bought a Porsche. He says,
"He's going to be Yiddish."
Yeah. What bracha should I make of it? So he says, "I know what a bracha is," but he says, "I don't know what a Porsche is."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It goes to the conservative rabbi, and the rabbi says, "Well, I know what a Porsche is," but he says, "But I don't know what is the proper bracha to make over it." So he goes to the Reform rabbi, and the Reform rabbi tells him, "A Porsche? Of course I know what a Porsche is, but I don't know what a bracha is."
Oh, well, my Reform friends will resent that. They can resent it, so what?
All right. Now,
I have to learn what a bracha is.
A chaluk is a vest or an undershirt?
Chaluk is more like a... It was a long shirt that they wore.
A tunic?
Right, sort of like a tunic or something like that. Yeah. They could use it either as an outer garment or as an undergarment.
Right.
So, obviously, felt, you know, that it wasn't. Now, there's another...
There's reading
it. Yeah. There is another statement that, for example, the Rosh brings. The Rosh says, you know, he quotes the Tosfos first. And then after he says, but nevertheless, he says, you know, there are poor people, he says, to whom even such a thing as a new chaluk, he says, would require.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is insignificant to one person, to a poor person,
important.
Can be very, very important. And so if he feels that it's important and he's grateful, the Rebbeinu Shalein for it in that case. Bracha is very appropriate. So as we say, I mean, you have to take into point of view also, you know, what are the circumstances. And
yeah, if you had two or three cars, you bought another one, I don't think you'd take a
Yeah, that's already... One.